For the Lord would say unto you, this is a day that I have created for you. I created it so that you could rejoice and be glad. Rejoice in my goodness. Rejoice in my grace. Rejoice because you can come where I am and you can look upon my face. Rejoice in me, for my joy will be your strength, causing you to overcome, causing you to go over the top. So rejoice, I say, and again I say rejoice, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Magnifying the name of Jesus. And a name is how you relate to someone. It's how you understand them. It's how you know them. And we talked about how great the name of Jesus is. And we've been going through different names of God because God gave Jesus a name above every name, right? God gave him that title. God gave him that position. And we're going to look at another name today that's found in the book of Ezekiel. When I was preaching a youth conference and I taught from Ezekiel, and I said, Eze, let's turn to Eze, right? Because I still am a rapper. But so every time, you know, I like to refer things to rapping terms. I want you to turn to the last book of Ezekiel, chapter 48. And we're going to read from verse 30 to 35. And Ezekiel was having a vision of the new Jerusalem. You know that there's going to be a new Jerusalem? And God's going to bring it out of heaven? And he began to describe this in verse 30. He said, and these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. The gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. These gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi, and on the east, 4,500, and three gates, the gates of Joseph, the gate of Benjamin, and the gate of Dan. And on the south side, 4,500 measures, and three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun. And on the west, 4,500. I love God, he uses even numbers. Praise God. For you phlegmatic melancholies, you know what I'm talking about. And on the west, 4,500, and there are three gates, one of Gad, one of Asher, and one of Naphtali. Now, verse 35 is where we want to look at today. It was round about 18,000 measures. The name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The words, the Lord is there, is the name Jehovah Shammah. So what that tells me is the most important thing that you need to know about heaven is the one who brought you there. Because he is the light source of the New Jerusalem. It's all about him. He's the star of the show. And the Lord is there. So if the Lord is there, then the Lord is here. Because His presence wants to abide with you. See, because Ezekiel was looking at an actual city. He was seeing a vision. But you and I make up together God's temple. And one thing that God has always desired since the beginning of creation, He has always wanted to inhabit His temple.
He has always wanted to be there. His presence being made known to His people. God wants to make His presence known. That's always been His desire. And so He is Jehovah Shammah. He is the self-existent, eternal One. He is the Lord, and He is there. He is here. He is right here. He is in our midst. Go with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. If you're not a Bible junkie, if you hang around VCF long enough, you become one. Amen? What's a Bible junkie? It's just someone who's addicted to the Word of God. Amen? God's Word is Jesus. He is the Word. When you're addicted to the Word, you're addicted to Jesus. And it's not, and also with His Word is the author of the Word, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, He inspired holy men of God to write what God spoke. And He put it down in a book. Why did He put it down in a book? So that He made it easy for us to get to know Him and follow Him. I mean, God gave us a very own reference manual of His kingdom, of His person, of what He likes and what He doesn't like, where we're going, how we got here, where we came from. Amen? We did not come from monkeys. We did not come from the zoo, from the goo to the zoo to you. We came from Almighty. We were created in His image and in His likeness. God made us. He made every human being. And God didn't mess up. Whatever part He gave you, that's what you are. Amen? And in Revelation 21, start with verse 17. And He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel, and the building of the wall of it was jasper. What do you decorate your house with? Oh, we decorate with jasper. That's pretty good. And the city was pure gold like clear glass. Does God mind having you gold? No, you're wearing pavement. Gold is heavenly pavement. God paves the streets with gold so pure it's clear as glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Jasper, sapphire, whatever that third one is. Chalcedony, I don't know. Emerald, sardonyx, sardius, crystallite, beryl, topaz. Yeah, whatever that one is. Chrysoprasus. Say that 10 times without getting your tongue tied. Jacinth and amethyst. Does it sound like there's any poverty in heaven? Mm-mm. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Wow. Those are some big pearls. Imagine the clam that came up, they produced those pearls. Wow. Everything that God does is over the top. And the street of the city was pure gold. And it was transparent glass so that it can reflect light. Mm. Verse 22, and I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. He is there. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Whoo! And the Lamb is the light thereof. No power outage, no blackout, no bulbs that, you know, that run out, no filaments that break.
Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. You know, not every nation is saved. But the gospel is for the nations. Amen? The church is the primary institution that God uses to get his message to the nations. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, or onto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to walk around with a suntan, a S-O-N tan. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatever works abomination or makes a lie, but that which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You invite him into your heart, and your name gets inscribed in his Book of Life. So I want to talk to you today about his abiding presence. He is here. Why? Because he is there. Amen? Now we know that God's presence is everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. But he is not manifesting his presence everywhere. Even though he is everywhere, he doesn't always show up with his power and his glory everywhere. He responds to where faith is. All right? So, the Lord, he makes his presence visible. There were lots of people in the Bible that experienced his presence, that saw his presence, that heard his presence. The Apostle Paul, on his road to Damascus, had a light shone around him. And he heard a voice. And the people that were with him, they heard a voice. They saw a light. And Moses encountered God's presence in a burning bush on a mountain that was on fire, full of smoke, in the light that led him through the wilderness. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Ezekiel had visions of the presence of God. He saw the glory of God. He encountered God's presence. Peter, James, and John, they got to see Jesus in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration before he went to heaven. And they got to talk with Moses and Elijah with Jesus. Telling us that Moses and Elijah are still alive. They're just relocated. Did you know that God's retirement plan is out of this world? And right now, he is building mansions for you. After all, he was a carpenter. So the church is the reconstructed temple designed to receive the glory of God in his presence. That's you and I. We are designed to be glory recipients of his presence. He promised us to be in us and to be our God and for us to be his people. God, Jesus promised about the Holy Spirit, which we'll look at. He said, he'll not only be with you, he'll be in you. He is Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel? It's not God's Spanish name. It means God with us. Say, God is with me. Say, look at your neighbor and say, he's closer than you think. All right? Everywhere Jesus walked the earth, things happened to transform lives. I just have a brief summary of what he did. God's presence restores. How many people that encountered Jesus had something that was lost, recovered? David lost his wives and his children. He went before the Lord and he said, Lord, what should I do? Shall I pursue? And will I overtake? God says, pursue, you're going to get it all back.
He went to the presence of God and got his answer that rescued his family. You want your family rescued? Your answer's in his presence. And you can go into his presence. If you're a born-again believer, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have access into his presence. The access code is J-E-S-U-S, in case you need to know the password. God's presence restores. It releases favor. Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom to govern your people. Okay, I'm going to make you wise, but I'm going to make you rich too. He didn't ask for riches, but God gave him riches. God gave him favor. God gave Joseph favor from his presence. God's presence resurrects. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, the resurrection and the life is here. You know, when the resurrection and the life shows up, someone gets raised. Hallelujah. There's a raising about to take place. Amen. Some people need to be raised from spiritual death. That's a resurrection, by the way. When someone comes to know Jesus, they were dead. Now they're alive. They passed from death to life. Just like that. God's presence renews. He's a creator. He likes to renew. And God's finishing work, you can't even tell that there were scars there. Whoo! His presence renews. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He gave us the ability to renew our minds. Why? Because when we came to Christ, we didn't know anything. And there's so much to learn about his kingdom that in order to operate like he did on this earth, we have to renew our minds. Why? Because the mind controls the body. Did you know that your body will follow your mind? If you don't believe me, when you're driving and I'm not on the road, just kind of look to the left and see where the car goes. Or look to the right and see where the car... Eventually the car is going to go which direction you look, right? Your mind controls your body. So if you want to walk with Jesus, you got to change your mind. God's presence heals. How many people got healed when they came to Jesus? When they came into his presence, they sought him out. How many people got healed? His presence heals. His presence saves. He looked at the thief on the cross. He said, the thief on the cross defended him. And he looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That thief couldn't even go to church. All he could do was put his trust in Jesus. Guess what? That's all you got to do. You know, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. It helps you live as a Christian. You become a Christian by accepting Jesus Christ. God's presence edifies. Let the weak say, I am strong. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It edifies. It builds up. God's stuff makes you tough. Because it's more than enough. Woo! God's presence strengthens. Those who wait upon the Lord, Isaiah said, they shall renew their strength. You shall mount up with wings of eagles. Whoo, I feel invigorated today. Why? Because God is infusing his divine strength into me. God's presence illuminates. His word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. The entrance of his word gives light, shines on the inward parts. Jesus is the light of the world. He illuminates. What is illumination? Illumination is understanding. It helps you see something that you didn't see before. I'll tell you a funny story about illumination. Jesse Duplantis he's a preacher, he's an evangelist, and he was preaching in this place, staying in the pastor's home, and in the middle of the night, he saw this figure. He heard this noise, and this figure was going, so he started rebuking it in the name of Jesus. He thought it was a spirit. Then it settled down. Then he went back to sleep. But then maybe a little bit later, he heard that sound. And he saw this thing moving. And he got up, stand up on the, he was shouting at the thing. He did that a third time. Then the sun rose up and it shined in his room. And he noticed that there was a coat hanging over the vent. And every time the vent came on, this coat would move and make the sound. But the funny thing is, Jesse told God, he said, God, how come you let me stand there rebuking a coat? And God told Jesse, Jesse, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. But can you see the difference illumination makes? God's presence guides. God led 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness. He guided them in the way that they should go. He guided them to their inheritance, to their possession. This is what His presence does. I want you to get so excited about His presence. God's presence protects. When Korah decided that Moses wasn't qualified as a leader, and he said, we can hear from God too, and God's glory showed up at the tabernacle to protect Moses and Aaron. God's glory came and protected Daniel when he was in the lion's den. God's glory. He protects. His presence protects. God's presence directs. If you don't know what to do or where to go, He can direct you. The Holy Spirit is the greatest conductor of the orchestra. You follow His lead. You follow His guidance. You follow His direction. You know, sometimes He's got a tap to get your attention. Just like the conductor. You know, He takes that stick. Because sometimes He's talking to you, but you're not listening. The Lord's presence helps. He's a very present help in trouble. When does He show up? He shows up when you need Him most. He's a very present help. His presence is present when you need help. Why? Because He's a helper. Where was Jesus when Peter fell off of his surfboard and started to sink in the water? Right? He was right there. He is there. He was in the prison with Peter, with Paul and Silas. God's presence prospers. He took care of 2 to 3 million people in the wilderness, fed them every day. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. They had bread, they had meat, right? One time, if you're familiar with Youth with a Mission, they were building their university in Kona, Hawaii. And they ran out of money. So the crew didn't have, I had a handkerchief up here somewhere, it's somewhere, thank you. And the crew didn't have any money to eat. So you know what God did? They prayed and asked God to help, and they went down to the beach and fish were jumping out of the water. There was about 118 fish that jumped out of the water, enough to feed them for, I think it was like a week, enough to get resources to them. True story. You can read it in one of the books Lauren Cunningham wrote. God's presence prospers. Who made Abraham rich? God did. Because it was His presence. God's presence comforts. He is called the God of all comfort. He makes you feel better than a warm comforter on a cold day. He knows your pain, but yet He can alleviate it. God's presence comforts. He picks you up when you're down. When you can't carry on, He'll carry you. And He comforts you so that you can take the comfort that you received and comfort someone else. God's comfort was meant to be passed on. Don't hoard all of His comfort. Oh, it's all mine. No, it's not. Share His comfort that you receive with someone else. God's comfort shields. He said, He gives grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. He's a shield and a buckler to you. He gives you a shield of faith. What does that do? It quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. The enemy will shoot darts at you. But your shield of faith, when a dart hits that faith, it dies out. It renders it useless and ineffective. I haven't even gotten to the main points of my message yet. God's presence forgives. He forgives. He forgave Peter for denying Him. He forgave Paul for persecuting him. He even forgave Pharaoh for holding His people in bondage. God's presence forgives. He does not hold your mistakes against you. When you come to Him and you say, Lord, I messed up, He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. His presence corrects and instructs. He's a teacher. Amen? All right, class. Right? Is there anybody ever in here that's never had to been corrected? If you raise your hand, we're going to have a special deliverance service for you. I didn't raise my hand either. Amen? He is Jehovah Shammah. He is there. He is here. His presence wants to abide with you forever. God's presence is Him setting up residence in you. Pull up Exodus 29, verses 4 and 5. I'm sorry, verses 45 to 46. Exodus 29, verses 45 to 46. And I will, what did He promise to do? I will what? Dwell among the children of Israel. Guess what? We're adopted Jews. We've been engrafted in. We've been adopted into the family. And for those of you that have adoption, adopted kids get the same rights as born kids. We get the same rights, the same privileges, the same benefits. Why? Because whether you're adopted or whether you're born, you're part of the family. Amen. God, next verse, verse 46. I will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord, their God. Personal. You got to make God personal in your life. That brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. Listen, God gets among your mess so that He can get you out of the mess. Because He can't get you out of the mess unless He gets in the mess. God had to become a man to fix the mess that man made on this earth. Because the only way that could fix the mess was a man. Because God gave the authority to a man. So God had to become a man because He obeyed His own word. He did not contradict His own word that He said. So God's presence is Him setting up residence in your heart, in your life, in your home. Have you made preparation? Listen, don't let God knock at the door and say, I'm sorry, there's no room at the inn. You better make some room. Amen? You better make some room. Hallelujah. Here we go. The evidence of God's presence is His manifested glory and work. Woo! Pull up Psalm 57, verse 5. Psalm 57, verse 5. You don't mind looking at the screen, do you? You can look in your Bible, too. All right? But I'm just preaching a little bit different today. Because I'm telling you, God's presence is here. And whatever you need fixed, He can fix. Whatever you need changed, He can change. Whatever you need healed, He can heal. Whatever is lost in your life, He can save. He can redeem. He can bring it back to life again. I say that to say, don't leave without your gift from God today. And the greatest gift that He gave is Jesus Christ. Our gift wasn't under the tree, it was on the tree. The evidence of God's presence is His manifested glory and work. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. Why? He wants people on earth to see His glory. The shepherds got a glimpse of His glory. They got to see, they got to be here, be part, they got to be part of a heavenly choir. Only the shepherds had front row seats to heaven's choir performance. The first evangelists to go and tell people that Jesus is here. Jehovah Shammah is here. Where it, in the shepherd's case, He was there in the manger. Let's go see Him. Psalm 96, verse 3. Psalm 96, verse 3. Still haven't even gotten to my main points yet. This is just a little hors d'oeuvres, right? Hors d'oeuvres, right? Anointed hors d'oeuvres. This is the preview of the buffet. Psalm 96, verse 3. Declare His glory among the who? The heathen. His wonders among all the people. See, when a heathen gets a glimpse, of His glory, there's a good possibility He'll change. It wasn't until Peter saw where Jesus said, go, throw your net on the other side for a great catch. When he saw the glory manifested in that catch, that's when Peter said, depart from me, I'm a sinner. It made Peter look at himself in a different way. Peter was amazed that God could be so good to a man like him. What happened? Peter became a follower. All right? The essence of God's presence will affect your senses. It could be seen, it could be heard, it could be felt. The essence of God's presence will affect your senses. Go to Luke 2:20. Luke 2:20. Look at your neighbor and smile and say, I feel something. We used to sing a song. I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him all over me. God's not dead. He's still alive. God's not dead. He's still alive. Sorry. Don't know where that came from. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I leave the praise and worship leading to my wife. Amen. I always used to tell people, my sister got the singing voice and I got the preaching voice. My sister, my oldest sister who led me to the Lord, she can sing. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had what? Heard and seen. Heard and seen. They got to see angels. They got to hear angels sing. God's glory will affect your senses. His presence, the essence of His presence will affect your senses. Jesus, remember when John was in prison? And he was experiencing doubt. He sent some of His disciples, go ask Jesus if He's the one or should we look for another? And Jesus sent the disciples back, say, go tell John what you see and hear. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Seen and heard. Seen and heard. Peter ministering on the day of Pentecost, he told them in Acts 2:33, he said, the things which you now see and hear. They heard people speaking in languages that they never learned. They saw people acting like they were drunk. But this is that. Why? He was there. He showed up in the upper room. He was there. Jehovah Shammah was there. And when he's there, things happen. And when, if he's there, then he's here because he can be anywhere. God's presence aligns with his ordinances and releases his providence, like wisdom, foresight, foreknowledge, and provision. Go to John chapter 14. I'm going to read this. John chapter 14. Are you having a good time today? I am. I can tell I'm preaching myself happy. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, God is here. Are you expecting God to do something in your life? Or did you just come out of duty? Did you just came because today's Sunday? Let me tell you something. God brought you here because he wants you to have a divine encounter with his presence. He doesn't call people together, oh, let's just come together and have a good. No, he wants us to have an encounter with him. This is the pre-birthday party of Jesus. Next week we celebrate his birthday. Amen? This is the pre-birth. He's getting us ready so that we can celebrate the birthday. His presence has got to come in and do some things. Break down some walls. I love that song. He will tear down walls. He'll tear down lies, however it's says. Just imagine what God did to get to you. He moved heaven and earth just so that he could come and have a relationship with you. If we would only pursue him like that, imagine what we would encounter. John 14. Whew. Verse 15. Jesus is talking here. That means he's there. Whenever you see it written in red, he's there. And when you don't see it in red, he's there. Because he's in the Word. If you love me, what is the proof of your love for Jesus? He said, if you keep my commands. Now the word keep doesn't just mean to have them on a shelf. It means to have them accessible so that you could do them. It's like where you keep your keys for your vehicle. You want to keep your keys for your vehicle where you can get to them, right? Because it's hard to get to where you're going if you don't have your keys. So you got to be able to retrieve them so that you could put them in the car or open the house or whatever. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, one just like me, with the same nature, with the same characteristics, that he may what? Abide with you how long? Forever. Listen, when the Holy Ghost showed up in your life, he says, I'm here to stay. You better prepare for a long time, a long-term journey with the Holy Spirit. He is not a flash in the pan. He will be with you in your life as you walk with God and keep his word. All right? Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You got to come out of the world by being born again to receive him. But it sees him not. They, not only can't they receive him, they don't even see him. Can you imagine some of the reports on the news media? Could you imagine them saying, boy, President Trump was anointed by the Holy Ghost today? Why? They don't even know what the Holy Ghost looks like. Brother Hagin used to say, in some churches, if the Holy Ghost walked down the aisle with a big red hat on, most churches wouldn't recognize him. They recognize religion more than the person. I was listening to a tape by Brother Hagin, who's in heaven now. He was my mentor. I had the privilege of going to his school. And he was talking about when he pastored a church that had a Saturday night service. He said, they honored that Saturday night service more than they honored Jesus. They thought it more valuable that Saturday night service than Jesus himself. And those were his words.
Verse 17, okay, because it doesn't see him, neither it doesn't know him. So it can't receive him, doesn't see him, doesn't know him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you.
In the Old Testament, there wasn't one person that followed God that had the Holy Spirit in them. He would come on them, especially the prophet, the priest, and the king, or others to function in a certain way or to do something. But when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit went from being with us, he moved on inside. He became George Jefferson. I'm moving on in to your heart, to a deluxe apartment that I made. Whew. It's amazing what comes out on a sermon. Hey, Chanel, are you struggling right now? Come here right now. Come here right now. Hallelujah. Just sit in this chair right here. Come, my love. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you take away her pain. You remove the pressure right now. And Father, your presence has come to set her free indeed. You are free in the name of Jesus. I command this respiratory system to be at peace. I command this pain to go in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you just to take a deep breath. Hallelujah. How's that? Amen. You know, sometimes Jesus looked on people and had compassion on them. That's what healing is all about. Go down to verse 20. He that has my commands and what? So you got to have them and keep them. The word keep also entails do. All right? Yeah, I got God's commands. They're all stacked up right here. Well, listen, if they're not in here, the stack's not going to do you any good, right? You got to get it from the stack in here. You got to transfer it from here to here. When you get God's word going down, heart level, floor 2, okay? Verse 20, and that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. How are we connected to the Father? Through Jesus Christ. He's our connection. If you're in Jesus, you're in the Father. If you're in Jesus, you're in the family. If you're in Jesus, you're a child of God. How are you in Jesus if he's in you? Verse 21. He that keeps my commandments, has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. God wants to manifest himself to the people who genuinely and truly love him. And if you genuinely and truly love him, you keep his word. You do what he says. You follow it to the best of your ability. Amen? He will manifest himself. He will show up. He will reveal himself. He will show himself strong on your behalf. He will manifest himself. Jehovah Shammah. I'm here. I'm there. I'm here. And I'm not going anywhere. Woo! God's presence is your fortress where you find deliverance. He is your refuge, your strength. The Lord is your... Go pull up Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Look at the things that the Lord is to you. Psalm 18 and verse 2. We have some awesome anointed sound workers. Notice, this is a good confession. The Lord is my rock. Is he your rock? Does he bring stability? Does he establish you? Does he cause you to be firm? He is, and my fortress. Why do we need a fortress? Because we have an enemy. He does launch attacks. But no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The enemy can take aim. He may have a loaded gun, but every time he misfires, it's going to misfire. Every time he fires, it's going to misfire. My deliverer. My God. Is he your God? Is he personal? All of us know that we have a president of the United States, but not many of us have ever been to his house. We can know God in a general sense, but do you know him personally? Do you have dinner with him? Do you have lunch with him? Does he tuck you in at night? Do you wake up with him in the morning? Do you walk with him throughout your day? While you're doing the dishes, can you fellowship with the Lord? Absolutely. He'll help you do the dishes. He likes clean things. Amen? He's a God of order. He's my strength, in whom I will trust. Do you trust him as your rock? Do you trust him as your strength? Do you trust him as these things? Do you trust that he can handle it, whatever you're facing? My buckler and the horn of my salvation. Horn always speaks of strength. Horn of my salvation. And my high tower. Listen, when you're in the high tower, you can't be low. God brings every low person up. He's a high tower. He's my tower. He's my high tower. Amen? Hallelujah. So he's your fortress. It's where you find deliverance. Psalm 46, 5 and 7, God talks about God being in the midst. Say, God is in my midst. In Matthew 18, 19, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, there am I in the midst. Guess what? Since two or three are gathered in his name right here, he is in the midst. Why did he come in the midst? So that he can do his word. So that he can perform his word for you. So that he can validate his promises. So that he can share his power and his glory with you. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, our refuge. He always intended to abide in you. And when we broke fellowship and relationship with God, he was the one that mended it. We tried to make fig leaves. Heard one preacher say, Adam never sewed a thing in his life, and he's trying to sew clothes. Must have did a bad job. God looked at that fig leaf and said, oh, come on. Let me give you some animal skins. Why did God give animal skins? Because he was telling Adam it's going to take blood to cure your sin. It wasn't just because animal skins are better than fig leaves, although I'm sure that they were. It was a sign of him talking to them, blood's going to be shed. The only way that this is going to fix is shed blood from a pure, spotless lamb. Who qualifies to manifest God's presence? Well, Matthew 18, 19, where two or three are gathered in my name. So, one qualification to experience God's presence is to gather in his name. God wants his people to be gathered. I mean, he gathered an entire nation that was spread out across the globe. He said he was going to do it, and in 1948 he did. You will find that God is true to his word. And it's not up to God's timing, it's up to your faith. Many people wait on God's timing when God's waiting on your faith. Faith is now. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You look at everybody that got healed in the Gospels. More than half of them got healed because of their own faith. 11 out of 19 cases got healed by their own faith. He didn't say my power, he didn't say my glory, he said your faith made you whole. Their faith activated the power that was already there. Say, I have faith. How do you know that you have faith? The Bible says God gave to every man the measure of faith. Every one of us have faith. It's just some of us need some yeast so it can rise up. Your faith is flat and it just needs to be raised up. So you come to VCF and you get the yeast. What's the yeast? The yeast is the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost breathes on your faith, it becomes alive. He quickens your faith. And you do things like run faster than chariots. You do things like walk on water. You do things like raise people that were died. Like Paul preached so long for his final sermon, a guy fell asleep and fell out the window. Fell two stories. They're in church. What'd they do? Let's take a 10-minute break. They went and revived him and went back to having service. Ananias and Sapphira, they died in church and the church kept going on. Because they died because of wickedness. They lied to the Holy Spirit. You can't lie to the Holy Spirit. He knows it anyway. You might as well just be honest and real. God promised Isaac. Go to Genesis 26 for a minute. I've got to show you something here. Genesis 26. I want you to see what made the difference in Isaac's life. It wasn't Isaac's skill. It wasn't Isaac's inheritance. Isaac had a rich dad. His name was Abraham. Isaac's dad had 318 employees that were born in his house. Imagine what kind of house he lived in. Of course, he lived mostly in tents because he moved around a lot. Did you know that God's first building was a mobile tent? God first lived in a mobile building. Not that God can live in a container, but it was the tabernacle. It was a tent. It was mobile. You could pack that thing up and move wherever you needed to go. Genesis 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac remembered this famine. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared to him. You know, when God appears to you, it's going to make all the difference in the world. Did you know that God wants to help you more than you want to be helped? I mean, God does everything that he can do to help you. He gives you his word. He gives you his spirit. He gives you people to come across your path to encourage you. You know, it's like the guy that was, the floodwaters were rising. And he kept saying, God's going to rescue me. So a guy came along with a boat. Said, you want to get in? He said, no. God's going to rescue me. Floodwaters got higher, so he had to get up into the attic. Another guy comes along with a canoe, had one space, said, can I help you? He said, oh, no, God's going to help me. Finally, the waters are up past the attic. He's on the roof. And a helicopter comes by, says, can we help you? He says, oh, no, God's going to help me. This man couldn't swim. The floodwaters raised higher than the house. He drowned. And he stood before God. He said, God, why didn't you do anything? You knew that I can't swim. God said, I sent you the boat. I sent you the canoe. I sent you the helicopter. I tried to save you. Sometimes we think, we look for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. Israel was looking for a king and he showed up as a baby. Born in a manger yet. He was born with animals. Whew. The man born with animals became King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Doesn't matter where you're born, it matters what you do with what you're born. What are you doing with what God gave you? Your gifts, talents, and abilities. Are you like an ostrich? You just go hide them in the sand? You know, when trouble comes, like an ostrich, hiding your head in the sand. You know the person that went and hid his gifts, lost his gift? If you try to hide your gift and you don't never use it for God, you will lose your gift. It's true. I don't know how I got on all that, but it's good anyway. So God appeared to him. He said, don't go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be what? With you. Everybody say, with you. It was the presence that made the difference. And I will bless you. When God's presence is with you, you're blessed. Say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Yeah, you can't. When you have God's presence, stress flies off of you like a fly. You just got to go shoo to stress. And stress will go, see you later. But the problem is, we like to, this is my stress. I'm feeding my stress. It's no wonder you're not getting rid of stress. You're feeding it. If a stray cat comes to your house and you feed that thing will be coming around. Amen? You got to starve your stress. How do you do it? Get filled up with joy. How do you get joy? There's fullness of joy in His presence. You have an open access into God's presence. You can go there anytime, any place, anywhere, any day, any hour of the day. And if you read that story, down in verse 28, all the people of the land of the Philistines recognized that God was with Isaac. They said, God is with you. We're going to make a treaty with you. Listen, they were some smart people. When you know that God is with someone, I'm going to get on their side. Amen? It was God's presence that made the difference in Jacob's life. Jacob was a trickster, a schemer. He cheated his brother out of his birthright with a bowl of soup. Then he stole his blessing by dressing up like his brother. But yet, when he had an encounter with God's presence, he became a prince known as Israel. He wrestled with God. And he said, God, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. God was with Jacob. Even in hard times, when he was sent away from home, God was with Jacob. When Laban changed his wages 10 times, God was with Jacob. And God's presence ended up giving more to Jacob than Laban had. Even Laban's son said, you took our father's wealth. How did he do it? He put spotted and speckled sticks in front of sheep when they mated. Where did he get that idea? God gave him a dream on how to prosper. So he did what God said to do, and God prospered him. But it was the presence that made the difference. It was God's presence that caused Esau to reconcile with Jacob. When Jacob gave his heart to God, he said, you bring me back home safe. Because his brother wanted to kill him. He said, you bless me, you feed me, you clothe me, and you bless me, and I'll give you all that I have. And he committed to tithe in Genesis 28. And when he did that, when Jacob became a tither in his heart, God released the blessing on him, on his life. Amen? And then finally, there were different ways where God's presence was manifested. When the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, which is a type of sin, it was a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud that led them through the wilderness, protected them. When Moses got the law, it was a mountain that was on fire. Smoke ascended onto the mountain. And God called Moses, come up. And he invited him into his presence. No one else wanted to go into the smoke. Because you know where there's smoke, there's fire. Some of you, don't be afraid of the smoke. Don't be afraid of people's reaction to God's presence.
Well, I don't want to do that because look at what they're doing. Yeah, you're just afraid of the smoke. Once you get past the smoke, you encounter God. You know, sometimes you got to press into God's presence. I'll never forget when I lived in Illinois before I was married. I was working for a tree doctor at the time. And we worked late. And it was a midweek service. And I got there. Worship was almost done. And I'm sitting kind of in the back, but on the aisle. And they were singing this song about joy. And I'm enjoying it. I'm tired because I just got off work, you know, and took a shower, came to church. You know, I always made church a priority in my life. Even when I wasn't preaching, church was a priority in my life. That's a little clue. Amen? For a lot of us. Well, anyway, they're singing this song about joy. And inside of me, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I just had this impression. Well, if you want joy, why don't you act like it? I was like, you know, you're right. So I stepped out into the aisle, and I just started, my feet started to move, and guess what? I started to get real happy. See, because sometimes you've got to yield to that. You know, when God's moving, you're not on puppet strings. God doesn't move your mouth. You know, we're not marionettes. Years ago, my grandparents would go to Texas every year. They had a trailer down there in Brownsville, Texas, and they often went into Mexico, and they brought me back this pink flamingo marionette, man. That thing, it had two legs that were cups, and it was on strings, and I could move that pink flamingo, you know, and the head would go like this. But I was in control of that puppet. God doesn't desire to control you. He looks for volunteers. And part of us volunteering to experience God's glory and God's presence is stepping out and doing something we've never done before when it feels uncomfortable. Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. He didn't say, come, Peter, did he? He said, come. Everybody in that boat had an invitation to come out on the water. How come only one came? Because only one was brave enough to respond to the invitation. I mean, Peter didn't even have to think about it. Out of my way, John! Philip, move! Andrew, get out of my way! Boom! He took a couple steps on the water. See, but when God gives an invitation and you don't come, you don't get to experience coming out on the water. But everybody in that boat could have come. He didn't say come, Peter. Jesus said come. That was to everybody in that boat. When God gives an invitation, it's to everybody. And those who come, come. Those who come, get blessed. But God, listen, like I said, God wants volunteers. If God would force people in doing His will, He'd force everybody to get saved, and we'd all be in heaven right now. But He doesn't do that. It's not how God works. He works by volunteer. Moses, I want you to go deliver the people. He even puts up with our doubts for a minute. Amen? I mean, Moses could express his doubts why he was unqualified to do what God was telling him to do. God, I'm just not qualified. And God kept saying, yes, you are. If I say, go do this, you're qualified. But Lord, I don't want to do this. Well, I made man's mouth. I'll give it your brother. Who should I say that I sent him? Tell him I am that I am. Can you imagine showing up to a group of people saying, I am that I am is going to deliver you? Huh? Who? Who's he talking about? I am that I am. Do you know how uncomfortable that was for Moses? But do you know how glorious it was when he did it and when he obeyed? God just wants you to obey. Whatever He puts on your heart by the Holy Spirit, He just wants you to do it. That's all. Your part is the doing it. He gives you the strength. He fills you with His presence. He does the heavy lifting. He anoints you. But then you got to do it. God even told the prophet, I want you to go preach, but they're not going to hear you. Don't look at their faces. Just go preach and tell them what I tell you to say, even though they're not going to receive your message. You want me to go and preach to a group of people that aren't going to hear me? There's no fun in that. The fun is not in that. The fun is in the obedience. Go with me to Exodus 33, and we're going to close here. Exodus 33, and we're going to close here. I'm fixing to close. You know what that means? I'm commencing to begin to start to finish. No, I'm just kidding. This is going to be it. I'm sorry, but I just have so much fun in the Word that I never want to leave it. And go down to verse 12. Well, we better go down to verse 11. This is about someone who valued God's presence. And every time Moses would get into the tabernacle, that was his office, everybody would see the glory of God come down in the pillar of fire, and it would rest on the tabernacle. Everybody would stand at the tents at their entrance, and once Moses got in, the glory came down, then they'd worship. And that's how Moses went to work every day. And in verse 11, the Bible says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. Let me tell you something. When you value God's presence, when you value God's glory, it will enhance your communication with God. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Two men who valued God's presence. Moses would speak to God face to face, and when he was done working for the day, Joshua would hang out with the tabernacle because he valued the presence. He said, I'm not leaving. This is too good here. He sometimes you got to set up camp in his presence. Sometimes we're too quick. Sometimes our stomachs are telling us it's time to eat, and God says, I'm not done feeding you yet. Tell your stomach to be quiet. So Moses, verse 12, he said unto the Lord, see that you bring up this people. He's telling God, he said, you told me to bring up this people. And you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know these by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Moses is telling God that God found grace in Moses' sight. Or Moses found grace in God's sight. There we go. Now therefore I pray, he said, if I have found grace in your sight or favor or goodness, show me your way that I may know you. I want you to know something. God did not deliver his people out of Egypt to go into Canaan. He delivered them out of Egypt, first of all, to connect with him. Because why did Moses say he was leaving? To worship. If you want to receive the promise, you got to know the promisor. And if you consider this nation your people, and he said, my presence shall go with you and will give you rest. Hallelujah. He said unto him, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't carry me not. He said, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going. Moses so valued God's presence that he didn't want to move without it. He didn't want to do anything without God's presence. He valued it. He said, if your presence is going, I'm good where I am. You know, that takes boldness to tell God, if your presence doesn't go, I'm not going. That's valuing his presence, right? And verse 15, he said unto him, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't carry us up from here. All right? And
Then go down to verse 17. Moses keeps talking. He says, if I found grace in your sight and I know you by name, he said, show me your glory. Have you ever prayed and asked God to show you his glory? What an amazing thing that Moses did. And God said, oh no, Moses, you can't see my glory. It's not what he said. Amen? God, why? God wants you to see his glory. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to make himself known to you. He wants to show himself strong to you. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Then he said, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Ha ha ha. Not only is he going to show you your glory, but he's going to protect you in his glory. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. God did not think that Moses' prayer was an outrageous request, because God wants you to see his glory. All right? And we know that. But see, do you value his presence today? How does his presence make you change? You can still live the same way that you've always lived. You can do the same thing that you've always done. But God wants to take you up to another level today with his presence. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is there. His presence is here to heal, to restore, to comfort, to lift up, to edify, to strengthen, to help, to find that which is lost, to heal that which is broken. His presence can fix marriages. His presence can change hearts. His presence can do amazing things, but we got to yield to his presence. And if you're watching today, I hope that you have been inspired just to turn to God and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Come into my life. Be Lord over my life. I want your glory. Come to me now in Jesus' name. You say that prayer and he'll come in and he'll help you, because there's no distance in the Spirit. Amen. And when you call upon the name of Jesus, he is there. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, number one, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the greatest piece of information that you need to have in your life. That's step one in experiencing God's presence, is calling him Lord. Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord Jesus as my Savior? I don't know if he's my rock. I don't know if what would happen to me if something happened to me tomorrow. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. You can know today. Is there anyone here to say, Pastor?